You're listening to the Texas Standard. I'm Laura Rice, in for David Brown. With much of the world's attention turned to Syria and now Afghanistan and North Korea, it's easy to forget that another crisis is brewing to our south. And no, we're not talking about Mexico or even Central America. Anti-government protests in Venezuela are entering their third week. At least 5 people have died so far. Last Tuesday, dozens of Venezuelans in Texas protested in front of the Venezuelan consulate in Houston in support of the opposition movement. Caitlin Andrews is a PhD student at the University of Texas at Austin, and she researches Hugo Chavez's legacy in Venezuela. Caitlin, welcome to the Texas Standard.
Thank you for having me.
So what triggered this latest wave of protests?
The latest wave of protests was triggered by Supreme Court decision in Venezuela just over 2 weeks ago on March 29th that suspended the powers of the legislature there, the National Assembly.
This group, from the pictures, from the reports, seems largely young people. I mean, what does this opposition look like? Who makes up these group of people that are in the protests?
Well, the opposition actually constitutes a very large portion of Venezuela's population. Mm-hmm. So it's a very heterogeneous group. We have lots of young people. The young people tend to turn out to protest in general. Mm-hmm. But the regime, the Nicolas Maduro, the current president's regime, is opposed by most Venezuelans today. He has a popularity rating of about 30%, and upwards of 80% of people identify the current situation as being very negative. So while it's a sample of that population that's actually turning out to protest, mm-hmm. it's actually most of the country that, I guess, technically forms part of this opposition movement.
Yeah, 30%, pretty low. I mean, is this round of protests different from what we've seen before? I guess we're seeing sort of a change in chavismo, or support for former President Hugo Chavez, since President Nicolas Maduro came to power?
Well, it's an interesting question. There's certainly been a stark change from when Chavez died in 2013 mm-hmm. and Nicolas Maduro was elected president. So it's difficult to point out when the kind of so-called authoritarian backsliding mm-hmm. Or the erosion of democracy actually began, but it's unquestionably gotten worse in recent years and under Maduro in particular. So I would say that former opposition protests, including large-scale younger student protests in 2014, were surrounding similar issues. But this is kind of a revitalized response to the same things, but in particular, these increasingly clear threats to Venezuela's democracy.
So how do you see this playing out? Do you see other countries in the region stepping in, or even a response at all coming or necessary from the Trump administration?
Yeah, so I think on both parts we've seen some kind of action. In general, the United States, the position vis-a-vis Venezuela since the change in administrations here has been somewhat uncertain, but actually mm-hmm. the Organization of American States had a meeting that concluded just the day before the Venezuelan courts announced their decision to rescind the powers initially from the legislature. And in that, the United States took more of a backseat and let Mexico really take center stage and leadership with the Venezuelan issue. And that's been seen kind of in the scholarly community as a really wise decision, because the United States can so easily be targeted as an imperial power mm-hmm. and can even serve to benefit the regime in Venezuela. So by letting Mexico and many other countries in the region take more center stage, which they've done, has been really positive. And I think that regional pressure really matters to the regime in Venezuela a lot more.
Caitlin Andrews is a PhD student at the University of Texas at Austin, and she researches Hugo Chavez's legacy in Venezuela. Thank you again, Caitlin.
Thank you so much for having me.